Here are a couple of the biggest benefits of mass media that I see that you don't get with anything else. Number one, you get what we call celebrity status. The idea of where celebrities come from, they come via television, they come from radio. Now we get them on social media. But we know that something psychologically happens in our mind when we see someone on mass media. This is what happens. This is why we have famous people. So what I love for someone that's new is they can go into a market and be new, but because you advertise on radio, here's the assumption that's made. This person must be an expert. This person must be really successful because only really successful people can afford to be on the radio.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Hey guys, Darren Bentley here, and welcome to another episode of the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. And before we get into today's episode, I want to share something very special with you that we are doing this week and this week only to celebrate Black Friday. At Wholesaling Inc., we are big believers in using real estate as a tool, as a vehicle for freedom. Financial freedom, time freedom, freedom to do more of the things that you want to do in life. And we believe there is no better way to achieve that freedom than through wholesaling real estate. In fact, there is no better time to be a real estate wholesaler than right now. I mean, just swimming with opportunities, more opportunities out there than there are wholesalers. So to celebrate Black Friday, we've decided to offer you the biggest discount we have ever offered on all of our coaching programs. We've never done this before. So starting right now and through midnight this coming Friday, Black Friday, when you join any one of our incredible wholesaling coaching programs, you will get $1,500 off the tuition costs. Yes, you heard me correctly. $1,500 off the normal cost of tuition. I mean, this is a total no-brainer. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that we are pretty much the best in the business. If you follow what we teach and actually do the work, you're going to get results. You will get results. So whether your goal is to get your first wholesaling deal or build a thriving wholesaling business from the ground up, you are going to absolutely want to take advantage of this incredible discount on any of our coaching programs, which include Brent Daniels TTP cold calling program. There's also the Wholesaling Business Blueprint, which is Rafael Cortez's program. Then there's Lauren Hardy's Virtual Investing Mastery program. Of course, there is Chris Arnold's REI radio program. Awesome program there. And the Land Sharks program, Brent Bowers, teaching you how to make money with land. And of course, our newest product entry, which is Chris Craddock's REI Revive, teaching you how to monetize dead leads sitting in your database. All you have to do to take advantage of this incredible offer is go to wholesalinginc.com, choose the program or programs that you are most interested in, and schedule a call with our team. We'll hop on a short call with you, learn a little bit about you, who you are, what are your goals, what are you looking to achieve. And if we believe it is a good fit, when you join one of our programs, you will receive $1,500 off the cost of tuition. That is, as Brent Daniels would say, bananas. So run, don't walk, to wholesalinginc.com and click that button to schedule that call with us and get started on creating your real estate success story. There is no time like the present. So don't wait. Go there now and schedule a call with us. You won't regret it. Now, I do have to warn you, we have never offered this big of a discount before. And the last time we had anything even close to this, we were inundated with people wanting to take advantage of that discount. It might take us some time to get to you because we are going in order here. So first come, first served. One last thing, keep in mind that the sale starts today and it ends midnight on Friday. That's this coming Friday. So you have to have scheduled your call by or before midnight this Friday in order to qualify for this massive discount. Good luck, and let's get into today's episode.
I'm Lauren Hardy, and this is Tag Thompson, and Chris Arnold is in the house, our guest.
I'm glad to hang out both of you guys at the same time. This is actually a treat because I know
it's weird.
Well, yeah. So I'm excited about it.
Well, I wanted to talk about radio because Chris, that's his big thing. He's known for radio. He's the radio guy. So I want to learn how to get motivated seller leads by using radio. But first, Chris, I don't actually know much about your background. Weirdly enough, I know you so well through Wholesaling Inc. But I don't know, like, where did you come from? So can you tell us a little bit about, like, where did you come? Because you live in Tulum, too. Like, can you give us a little history of Chris Arnold?
Yeah, so I got started in real estate in 2005. And I got in because I always viewed real estate as a vehicle to impact the world. So my drive has always been not necessarily for real estate, but for the freedom of resources and time that real estate could give me. And so I started like on the agency side, like as a real estate agent for Century 21, calling expires and FSBOs back in the day when there wasn't technology to even pull it. And I'd be up early in the morning when people still had landlines. That's how far I'm going back, calling expires and FSBOs and taking listings. And so you know how it is in real estate. It's one of the things that we love. You can evolve into so many different things because we have so many different opportunities. So from there, I built a brokerage and a large real estate team. And then probably about 11, 12 years ago, I got into the investment side as well. So I was doing agency, then we're adding in investment. And then you know where you go from there, and that is you want to start to take all of that knowledge and impact the world. And so probably about 5-6 years ago, I started Multipliers Brotherhood, which is a program that focuses on legacy fulfillment for really the top 5% real estate entrepreneurs that are out there. So that's kind of a quick snapshot of my background and my real estate career. And of course, at Wholesaling Inc., which I love.
So when did you start wholesaling? Was that the same time when you gotten into the investment world?
Yeah, so that's what I started with. Well, actually, I started fix and flip, believe it or not. That just seemed like the route to go at the time. And I learned pretty quickly after about a year and a half or 2 years, I'd much rather on the wholesale take that fast nickel than that slow dime. I really did feel wholesaling was much more scalable. And when you remove the heavy rehab, because we were doing like real rehabs. I'm not talking like the lipstick rehab. When we removed that piece and really focused on the wholesaling aspect, that's when we're really able to scale in a larger level. And it definitely got rid of a lot of the stress because it's not easy to manage subcontractors and flip a lot of properties at the same time.
Remind us, what territory was this in?
Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth.
Oh,
DFW.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's been our home base ever since. So we just continue to expand the radius from DFW is how we've grown.
Okay, so remind me, what year was this that you started wholesaling and house flipping and all the above?
Yeah, probably around 2010.
2010. Okay, the reason I asked is just I have follow-up questions for that. So in 2010, you decided there's more to do other than just being an agent. You started flipping houses, then you learned about wholesaling. When you first got into wholesaling, how did you get your leads and your deals?
Yeah. So initially we started with direct mail. Back in the day, like this is when direct mail for the most part was still a bit untouched. Mm-hmm. And so we got really aggressive. We took direct mail up to about 100,000 pieces of direct mail a month. It was without question our main source of income. But if you guys can remember, it was around 2018, I know for us in DFW is when you would walk into someone's house and just see a stack of postcards and realize like everybody knows the direct mail game at this point. Mm-hmm. And so that's why previously before that, we wanted to get ahead of the saturation and we ended up launching radio. So what ended up happening is it flip-flopped and we became and are more reliant on radio than direct mail because there's no competition.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that for you guys, it was in 2018. I always say like real estate is a very localized sport. So for us, direct mail started getting like to that level around 2015. So, and I'm in Orange County, California, for anyone that doesn't know. So it's interesting, you know, how different territories, like I do many different marketing channels, right? You know, that I've done many different, and for example, like TV ads, you know, TV ads, I would say is less saturated in some areas that I'm in. I'm in 4 different markets, but then others, there's some territories I'm doing better with them.
I know people that kill it on direct mail, but it's all based on the location that they're at still. Like there's no competition. So for those of us in the major cities, that's why I really value people that are in areas like Phoenix and stuff like that, because a lot of those areas, even DFW, tend to get saturated a bit faster, or like you were talking Orange County. So you see more innovation come out of those areas because you have no choice, because the traditional stuff gets gobbled up and it's like, I got to now move on to something more innovative. And so we see a lot of good things come out of the major cities because of that.
That's interesting. Okay. So then you decided to shift gears and go into radio. And for me, when direct mail got really saturated, because I used to do, I didn't do 100,000, I would do 20,000 a month. So when I decided to shift gears, it was to cold calling. You decided to go to radio. So how does radio marketing work?
So I like to call it, first of all, the marketing channel that everyone knows about, but nobody's using, right? So there's not anyone that's watching right now that goes, I've never heard of radio. But what is unique about radio is the application of it towards investment. It really has been overlooked. And so one of the things I find that people really have a misconception about is who their avatar is. So they confuse themselves as their avatar. So Lauren and Tag, you and all three of us, I guarantee we all download and stream our music probably via Spotify or SoundCloud or something like that. But the people that we're selling properties to primarily around the US are over the age of 50. Mm-hmm. So that demographic, they don't have Spotify on their phone. They grew up around radio. And so therefore, they still are accustomed to the habit of just getting in the car, turning on that favorite genre of music that they like to listen to. And so you really begin to connect the dots and go, wow, one of the very best ways to get in front of the people that we're selling or buying most of our houses from, being these sellers, is actually radio. So the way radio works is, I like to say it's pretty much a set it and forget it model, because it's very nice because you're paying a radio station to do all the work for you. So one of the benefits that I have found is, I don't know if you guys have ever launched like a new marketing channel and feel like you picked up an entirely new job. Like, well, I'll pick on direct mail, right? Direct mail is effective, but you're working on your lists all the time and list stacking, and you're split testing your card, and you're dealing with the mail house and then all the incoming calls, and it works. But at the end of the day, you got to do a lot of work to make that program work. What I love about radio is you just pay your bill monthly, answer the phone when it rings. And the way it works is that the radio station does all the work for you. So that's a really, really key piece. So it's probably been one of the most passive marketing channels that I've ever been able to set up. And most people utilizing it love that, particularly if they're new and working a 9-to-5. They don't have the luxury of spending a ton of time on a marketing channel. They really do need a set it and forget it model.
So my next follow-up question, I guess, is like, how expensive is a radio campaign?
Yeah. So this would be the second reason people have steered away from radio. Number one, they didn't connect the dots. That it goes to the very person they're looking for. Number two, if you ask most people, like, how much is it going to cost to advertise on radio? When I throw out that question, the number I get a lot of times is like $10,000 a month, maybe more. The average spend, and at this point, we have done almost every state in the US that we've helped people set this up. The average spend is somewhere around $1,000 to $1,500 a month. So that means that the ads, yes, the 60-second ads that our students are running are around $10 to $15 for an ad. That's really inexpensive. And that's really a breakthrough when people think about that, because they just assume that it's going to be really, really expensive. But here's the thing. We're wholesalers. What we do is we buy at wholesale prices, right? We buy real estate at 60, 70 cents on the dollar. We do the same thing with radio. And that's really been, if I could tell you the secret sauce of what we figured out, is we're literally buying radio as low as 25 cents on the dollar. While a lot of other people are paying retail, just like a lot of other people are paying retail for houses. They just don't know the difference.
So, I know you have a coaching program. So do you teach your students how to get those types of discounts?
That's our number one job, is to show them how to do that. So here's the way it would typically work, right? If someone listened today about radio and said, hey, I want to go do this myself, this is how they would go about it. They would call into a radio station and they would speak with a sales rep, right? They represented that station. And that station would send them over what's called a media packet, right? Mm-hmm. And the media packet would already have the pricing and everything. And what you would feel good about is if maybe you could negotiate like 10% off the price. You'd be like, that's a win. We do it completely backwards. Before we call a station, we pull some really key point, like what we call reports. Like, they're called a ranker, an hour by hour, different reports like that. But fundamentally, it arms us with what that station is worth. It tells us how many listeners they have, how many of the listeners own homes versus rent. It tells us the average income. So imagine us going in with knowing everything about the radio station, and rather than asking for a media packet, we go in and we say, hey, based on all these reports, this is what your station is worth in the sense of advertising. Now, we've helped so many students do this. You talk about throwing a sales rep back, because they're so not used to somebody calling in with these reports. They don't even know that most people would know these reports exist.
Right.
And when we go in, we're telling them what it's worth, and we're not picking a number. This isn't a negotiation where we're just trying to beat them down. We're literally all utilizing the same formula, and based on the size of your station, this is what we're worth paying. And so that's why all of our students are really all right in that same price range when it comes to radio. We've all gotten it in all the different states.
That is crazy. I assumed radio was way more expensive because I do TV ads. So TV ads are so expensive.
TV are more expensive than radio. So I know, obviously, Tony Javier really well. We work together. He kind of covers the TV side and I cover the radio side. And so there's, you know, pros and cons to both, but they're very similar.
Yeah.
The whole thing that I tell people is it's mass media. Mm-hmm. And mass media has been very overlooked, right? So I would rather much set up a marketing channel that's going to create a quality inbound lead for me than necessarily spend all of my time doing the outbound side. And for someone that's new, you know, $1,000 a month, that's probably less than what they're spending on direct mail. So they don't realize that they can jump something like direct mail that has so much competition and move over into mass media. But here are a couple of the biggest benefits of mass media that I see that you don't get with anything else. Number one, you get what we call celebrity stats. The idea of where celebrities come from, they come via television, they come from radio. Now we get them on social media. But we know that something psychologically happens in our mind when we see someone on mass media. This is what happens. This is why we have famous people. So what I love for someone that's new is they can go into a market and be new, but because you advertise on radio, here's the assumption that's made. This person must be an expert. This person must be really successful because only really successful people can afford to be on the radio. So things like direct mail, cold calling, those other things, they're not necessarily increasing the value of your brand. Those things don't make your brand or you a celebrity in your local market, but radio does. And then the thing that follows that, which makes these conversions even easier, is instant credibility. So at this point, I have students tell me, this is my favorite testimonial I'll get. I'll have students, again, you know how students are. They're nervous to kind of go on the radio and hear their voice. And I was too, you know, it's like, it's kind of a fear to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they are and they start, you know, getting texts from people and calls, like, I heard your ad, it's great. But what they'll tell me is they will tell me that, hey, I just went and locked up a deal. And the seller told me, hey, I got all of these postcards in the mail. I didn't even call one of them. I called you because I heard you on the radio. That's what I mean by celebrity status and instant credibility. And that's what mass media produces via TV and radio. I think that those are priceless when it comes to growing your business.
That's very, very interesting. And I think I want to touch a little bit more and tag. I know that you can really say a lot here. Inbound marketing versus outbound marketing. So outbound marketing is like texting, cold calling. And inbound is like radio, TV, direct mail, where they're calling you. What do you feel like are the benefits of inbound versus outbound? I mean, I could tell you a few. You definitely touched on it where you said you start up a marketing campaign, you feel like you just got a new job.
Yeah, well, I'll chime in a little bit. So I actually call it proactive and reactive marketing. Unfortunately, that has a little connotation that proactive marketing channels are better than reactive ones. And that's simply not true. If I could in my market, you know, have the business and the scale that I want to have and simply have reactive marketing channels. So people are reacting to my market. They're hearing my radio ads, they're seeing my TV ads, they're getting my mail, they're reacting to that marketing. I would do that 100% of the time, right? Because it is very much, you set it, you forget it, the calls come in, you take the calls, you work them, and you're done. My team loves reactive marketing leads. My acquisition managers, oh my gosh, like, because they made the effort to call you. They made the effort to write down the number when they heard it on the radio. They made the effort to pick up that mail piece and call you. Whereas if it's a cold calling lead or an SMS lead or something like that, I mean, that's barely a warm lead most of the time. I mean, just barely. So 100% of the time would choose those reactive leads if I could. It's just, you know, when you go to scale, for me, it's been hard to have enough reactive leads to scale appropriately. So
I'll tell you this, I've never gotten a hate call off radio.
Sure haven't, have you?
Right?
In 10 years, no one has ever called and cussed my acquisition managers out or complained because we advertise on radio. If anything, we get the opposite most of the time, and that is they're excited to talk to us because they've elevated our status. Now, when we were doing 100,000 pieces of direct mail, I mean, our calling assistants, not our acquisition managers, they were a little bit tougher, but the ones that pre-qualified, you know, the leads coming through, they'd be in tears certain days. I mean, you get enough of those calls back to back, you get like 3 hate calls back to back where they're cussing you up and down. That's tough. So I agree. My team has really loved radio a lot more because it's not such a beat down getting all of the half of the calls that are, you know, frustrated that you put something in their mail or spam. I mean, let's be honest. It works. It's effective, but it's spam-based marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a lead gen person quit this last week because they didn't have the ability to kind of compartmentalize all of the, and I'll be blunt, all of the I'm going to track you down and kill you responses that they get sometimes from, you know, these spam-based marketing channels. And she couldn't handle that. She's been with us for well over a year and it just got to be too much for her. So yeah, it's hard. Like, those are not fun marketing channels to do.
Well, I'm super curious about radio because I've done, you know, now TV this year. That was new for me this year. And I just love it. I love the reactionary marketing. Is that what you called it? Or I call it inbound, you know, marketing. I just fell in love with it. You're right. Nobody calls us and yells at us. The lead's already pretty warm. So it's set it and forget it. So I'm super curious about radio. I'm definitely going to hit you up when I'm ready to tack on one more project. But I want to switch gears and talk about self-development because I know you're a big self-development guy. And I know you've got Multipliers Brotherhood. And I want to know more about, you know, what you are doing through Multipliers and what's really important to you in the self-development space.
Yeah. So I can tell you that what I would consider is the epidemic for entrepreneurs is isolation. So the challenge we have is the higher we go up, the less and less we are able to relate with a lot of the people that we grew up with. And so as an entrepreneur rises in their success, they have less and less people that they can open up and talk about the hard things. And so what I have found, and again, we particularly serve men, we are a brotherhood, is that when I talk to most men and I really get them to be honest about, you know, when things get really difficult, when you make a mistake or you step into something you shouldn't step into, where do you go? And they don't feel like they can because the friends that you grew up with that work a 9-to-5, you know, they're like, what do you complain? Right? You own your own business, right? You know, they don't understand the problems. You can only open up to your team so much and your spouse, the same as well. You can't dump everything. So what I have found that's happened is as these leaders are rising, and again, as they're rising, they're beginning more influence. They're making more impact in the lives of people. I'm talking about leaders specifically, not just growing businesses, but using their voice to really use it to transform people's lives. And so as they're rising and they're getting isolated, well, that stress kicks in. Mm-hmm. And there's more and more that they're carrying on their shoulders. And if there's not an outlet for them to be vulnerable and to talk about those things, then what we say is it come out sideways. And for men in particular, we see a lot of the same patterns start to emerge. It's drug and alcohol abuse. It can be porn addiction, extramarital affairs, different things like that. And so all of a sudden you have this leader that makes these mistakes and they're isolated and alone. And now what do they have to do? They have to put on the mask, right? They have to act like everything's okay. And this is why I think a lot of times when you walk into real estate events, what I've noticed is like everyone's business is great. Everyone's marriage is great. Everyone's life is great. And I'm going, I'm smart enough to know that if you had parents and you had social conditioning, you're carrying some pretty heavy stuff still. And so really what we've sought to do is to create an environment for these men to be able to open up and really talk about the difficult things. Because here's my belief. I really believe deeply in social entrepreneurship. I believe that government and nonprofits, that is not enough manpower to solve all the problems that exist in our world. You have to utilize the manpower that comes through entrepreneurs. And think about where we're at. We have freedom of time. We have freedom of resources. We're creative. We're innovative. We're bold. We're willing to take risks. And if all of a sudden statistically we know that 2 out of 3 entrepreneurs or leaders will fail to finish the race, that means that they will either burn themselves out or they'll make a moral misstep that will cost them everything. Mm-hmm. I then begin to imagine how many problems in the world are not being solved simply because people as entrepreneurs don't have a place where they can be held up when they stumble and make a mistake. And so we're all about legacy fulfillment and making sure that these men really fulfill the unique contribution that they've been called to fulfill.
That's really cool. I love that. I mean, you know, Tag, you're a man. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm in multipliers. So yeah. I'm a huge believer in it. I agree as emphatically as you could possibly agree with everything that Chris just said, 100%. I wish someone would start a women's multiplier too. I think it's a huge thing. And talk about isolation for men. Everything that Chris said was 100% true. But even with women, I mean, not only do this, everything that he said about men yeah. is the same with women, but you also have this context in business of go to not just it's really bad in real estate, but go to any conference. Business, entrepreneur conference. I mean, women make up 5% of the people that attend those things. And the communities of entrepreneurs, like they're just such a small group. I mean, I've talked to women entrepreneurs constantly who feel that isolation and the feeling that no one can relate to them, especially, you know, for single moms. So yeah, I say that because hopefully somebody will hear this and start one. So
I think I've said it. I'm like, if Chris ever wants a female chapter, I'll help run that. I definitely know what you mean where we don't have anyone to talk to. Like as you grow as an entrepreneur, you have less and less of people like, you know, in your typical, your sphere, your support sphere, you know, your husband, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your parents, your kids, whatever, best friends. Like I can't talk to any of those people about what I'm doing. The closest person I have would be like my dad. He just because he's a very smart guy, he wasn't really an entrepreneur, but his dad was, and he's very intelligent. And so I'll have these conversations, but even with him, it's like limited. My boyfriend, you know, he's got a great job, but you know, they don't get it. You know, like when you come to them and you're like, okay, yeah, my employee just did this. And like, I don't know what to do. And I can't, and they're like, they come up with these answers that are very like, yeah, that would work if I worked for a company and I had all this support. Anyway, I just felt like it is very hard to find people in my inner circle that I relate with and that I can bring, you know, talk about my problems and things that come up on a day to day. So it's really cool that you're doing that. I mean, we're getting closer to the end here. I wanted to pick your brain one more. What is your favorite book for anything on like, no real estate? You're not allowed to say a real estate book. Like lifestyle design, entrepreneurship, the social, all that, the self-development. What's your favorite book?
Yeah, a couple of maybe that I've read that have impacted me, let's say over the last couple of years. From one of my coaches gave me a book called The Big Leap.
Okay.
And really the premise is, why psychologically for us, when things are going good, we get really nervous if it goes good for too long. And it's about how we tend to self-sabotage and how we don't have the belief that things can go well for long periods of time. So we're just always kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop in our life. And so psychologically, that was a really good book for me that from a personal development standpoint helped me a lot. And then the other book, and again, this is a leadership book, and this is where Multipliers comes from. But Liz Wiseman wrote a book called Multipliers, and it deeply impacted my life. And the whole premise of that book was learning that you're not about being the genius. You're there to be the genius maker. And you can find two types of leaders. Either I believe I'm the smartest person in the room and I know what we should do and everyone should look to me at all times. Or you believe that you're there to not be the genius, but to raise up geniuses around you because you understand that the collective group of people in an organization are way smarter than you'll ever be as an individual. And so that's a great book about empowerment and really how to be an effective leader.
I'm writing those down, especially The Big Leap. That I feel like I need something like that right now.
Yeah, I haven't read that before, oddly enough. So I'm definitely going to grab that. Well, I have a question. I know she said it was the last one, but I got to get mine in. Yeah, so I'm going to eliminate the top 3 or 4 and say it can't be your family or, you know, any of the whatever normal activities that we would say are the most important to you. But what's the most important activity that you do on a daily basis that you love outside of, you know, again, family, friends, that sort of thing? What's your favorite activity? Are we talking
about recreational or personal development?
Sure, whatever you want.
For me, honestly, the most important thing that I do that I find value out of is my morning routine. I know that that's common in the sense of that language, but people that actually live that out on a day-to-day basis and are maximizing that, I don't think that there are as many people as we think that they are. And so I get a ton of value by making sure that roughly for about the first 3 hours of my day, I'm really fully focused on myself. I'm not interacting with people. I'm not taking texts. I'm not emailing. I'm making sure that I'm aligned, that I'm right, that I'm recentered every day before I turn and begin to face the world. And again, we as leaders are meant to pour into the world. And so I view that time as I've got to fill up my bucket before I turn around and I pour it out for everyone else. And so the older I've gotten, the more that that hasn't become or even feels like a discipline to me, it's become something that's so central to my well-being in my life. Like I can't imagine my life without that morning routine. It's everything to me.
Okay, well, you have to tell us what it is then.
Yeah, no problem. So the first hour, again, here's what I tell people. You have to find what works for you. The idea of best practices when it comes to morning routine is not good. I don't journal. I don't meditate. Those things are not effective for the way that I'm wired. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to let go of the fact that it's okay that my time doesn't look like what everyone else's time and what they're saying in the books, right? So when someone says, I journal and I get value, I'm like, that's great for you. It just doesn't work for me. So I do four things in my hour. I do gratitude, and I literally have 7 beads every day that I go through. If I lost those beads at this point, I think I would cry. I put so much energy into those. I know how every bead feels under each of my fingers because I've done it for years at this point. I also spend about 15 minutes going through the 1-year Bible. So it takes the Bible and breaks it up into a daily reading. I review my personal goals and my business goals for the year as well. And then I knock out about 30 minutes of Audible. And I can do all of that in about an hour and 15. And then after that, I go straight to the gym. So what I'm doing every day is, this is what I tell people. Every day I need to inspire my spirit. Mm-hmm. I need to expand my thinking. I need to challenge my body. And then I can go and I can build the vision that I've been called to build. And so that's what I'm doing in that time each morning. Challenge my body, inspire my spirit, expand my thinking. And now I'm ready to face the world.
I love that you said that it's okay that we don't like meditating. You know, I'm trying to do the meditation thing. Like I'm trying to get on it. And like, it just gives me anxiety. Like, I can't do it. I can't get myself to like sit there. I know
it's a simple litmus test. Does it work for you? Don't complicate. And if it doesn't, then move on to the thing. But again, what I just told you is very custom to me. It is what's most effective for me.
I'm glad that you gave me that permission because I have been trying to get a meditation practice going. And I decided this week, I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it when I feel like I need it. So if I am getting stressed out, I'll admit it does help. Like if there's something going on and I'm like, I need to calm down, it does help. I almost use it like an Advil, but I'm not using it like a vitamin, you know, like something I'm taking every day. I don't know. It doesn't work for me. So I'm glad you put that out there. We need to write a book. Like not everything is meditating.
There you go.
You know, it's interesting. I'm on the other side of it. My meditation practice is the most important part of my work. Like it really is. I spent a lot of time developing it. It's so valuable to me. If it doesn't work its way into my morning, I usually don't have a good day. So it's so important.
Some friends like that. They'll tell you that meditation changed everything for them. So let's figure out what works.
Yeah. But the next thing, you know, if you look at, you know, Titans or any of those books that talk about morning routines, meditation's always on there, usually number one. But the second thing is something that you do, Chris, which is work out. Right? So that's a part of your morning routine. I don't. So like your routine has to be something that works for you. I love that, Chris. That's great.
And I'm very similar. I work out at 6 a.m. and I wake up and I just go straight to the workout class. And then depending on, you know, my kids' schedule, kids ruin morning routines, by the way. But at least like for me, I need to get that workout in. That's how I feel good. Another routine that I think is important that's been a game changer for me is just thinking time. And I just call it thinking time. And it's from Keith Cunningham's Road Less Stupid. It's one of his principles. That's been a big game changer for me. So it's cool. We all can have different morning routines and that's okay.
Agreed.
Awesome. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming today. Tag, do you have any more questions? I know I hogged him.
No, you didn't. I mean, we could talk for hours. Chris and I have had several conversations that last were supposed to be 15 minutes and ended up going way too long. So I'm used to cutting myself off when I talk to him. So,
well, Chris, pimp yourself out. How can people get a hold of you, and how can we learn more about radio?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if radio is an interest and you are looking, I'll use tags language. I like that. Reactive marketing, inbound marketing, something that's not saturated, something that's affordable. You can simply go and start by taking a look and seeing if it's a fit for you. I think marketing channels are a lot like dating and marriage. You have to find the right fit. So not the right channel is the same fit for everyone else. And so I believe the same is about radio. Some people, it's an absolute perfect fit for. For others, you know, they'd rather do cold calling. So, but if you think it might be an interest to you, go to wholesalinginc.com/REI radio. Again, wholesalinginc.com/REI radio. And you can book a call and we will help you out in any way we can.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it, guys. And if you are listening to this and inspired to go virtual, I want to help you. I want you to check out the page www.virtualinvestingmastery.com, fill out an application, and somebody from my team will get back to you. We've got a good group, a lot of love, a lot of success in it. And all we do is virtual wholesale in it. So make sure to check it out. And that's it, guys. Thank you so much for coming and listening today. I will see you next time.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.